Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Well, you guys recently heard my conversation that I had with filmmaker and director Abdul Malik Abbott about the upcoming release of the documentary based on Digital Underground's history in hip-hop and also, of course, in our lives. Today, we have a real honor to be able to speak with you as well. We're talking to Chopmaster Jay from the group, not only about his love of music, but what it's been like for him to share that with all of you, as well as to reflect on what's been 25 years, of course, since the group has been able to do their debut, and then, of course, to see the way that their influence still remains today when it comes to music. Chop, hello to you, and welcome to Conversations Live.
Brother Cyrus, thank you for having me. I just want to know one thing, Brother Cyrus.
What's that?
Can you dig it? I just had to get that out there, man.
Of course. You know what? I do my best.
All right.
You know, Chop, this is really an exciting time. As I said, you know, our listeners recently heard my conversation that I had with Abdul about this project, about you guys. And, you know, and that's the great thing about you is that you're able to not only hear these things, but to know that you lived it. What has it been like for you to see not only the way that people are still not only talking about Digital Underground, but the impact that you guys were able to make through your music?
Well, you know, what's really important, I gather, in addition to a lot of things, was us to be able to take someone that we admired, like Dr. Funkenstein and George Clinton, mm-hmm. and be able to bring funk to a whole new generation during that early period of the 90s, because funk, for the most part, had kind of gone the way of, was kind of back underground itself, where people like Teddy Riley, New Jack Swing, and all that stuff was happening at the time in R&B, and, you know, and as far as rap was going, it was primarily something else. And we were able to take a niche, something as hot as the P-Funk, and kind of be the hip-hop funksters at that particular point. You know, coming out of playing jazz and being a jazz musician my entire life and playing jazz fusion and all that, and then getting with Shock, who Shock is a pianist and a keyboardist, and we found a mutual admiration for music and coming together under that. Shock, being a cat from New York who had grown up with hip-hop, wanted to be an MC. So him being an MC with us playing and trying to do a thing where we basically were, you know, accompanying each other playing music was something that was kind of new. And when we took it to the stage, people were appreciative of that because you know, it was a new art form for a lot of people, especially on the West Coast. We were a West Coast group initially, signed to an East Coast label, being Tommy Boy Records, which was kind of a first, but West Coast wasn't really getting respect from the hip-hop community at that time. So it was kind of it was a new day, most certainly. Right.
You know, Chop, the thing that gets me, and I mentioned this to Abdul, when I'm fairly new to hip-hop, you know, raised in the part of Mississippi that I am, it wasn't something that I really heard a whole lot until, you know, as I've gotten older, but especially over the past 8 years, you know, as I've come to better appreciate what hip-hop really is and those individuals that have been instrumental in it. The thing that gets me is the amount of respect that people, when you hear the name Digital Underground, I mean, there are so many people, and even when I was talking about this conversation with you, you know, we're talking about, you know, what they love about that music. Oh, I'm still listening to that. And, of course, thanks to the internet today, of course, people are able to keep that music alive. Could you have imagined that that would have been the case, that 25 years later, that you all would have the impact that you had when it came to music?
Not at all. Other than the fact that knowing that what we were doing was innovative at that time, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, being a jazz musician once again, you know, which is quite different than being a musician out of church a lot of times, because church is about more traditional things and trying to do things better in that particular realm, and trying to sing conventional traditional songs and perform those songs better than, or, you know, or at least match what would have come before you. But within jazz, it's about being innovative and opening the next door and doing the next thing. So I've always prided myself upon trying to be the first or doing something first, but to think that it would last 25 years, no, I wouldn't have thought I'd been alive 25 years later. and unlike my compatriot, like a Tupac Shakur, who turns out to really be one of the things that keeps giving Digital Underground legs, as it were, as it pertains to him, and as the film pertains to his apprenticeship, being a roadie and a dancer in the group at that time. And he was my roadie. He was because I'm the one who had equipment and gear, and he set up equipment and gear that we had. He was my roommate and things of that nature, and he was like an obnoxious little brother. But at the same time, his legacy lives on, and lives on through this group, and the things that we've done. He definitely, like I said, will continue to give Digital Underground substance and keep it relevant, as it were, based upon his contribution to society.
Exactly. Well, you know what? I'm going to make you laugh a little bit at me here in a moment, Chop. But I want to say, for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Really excited to welcome to our program today Chop Master Jay. He's not only one of the founders and original members of Digital Underground, but he's an individual who's also instrumental in the documentary that is being made for next year. It's DU Days, Adventures in Digital Underground, The Apprenticeship of Tupac Shakur. You know, what I told when I was speaking to Abdul Malik Abbott, and this again, as I said, I'm new to hip hop, so you have to cut me some slack on this top. I didn't realize until I saw the Indiegogo campaign for you guys, I didn't even realize that Tupac was in Digital Underground.
Sure. Well, yeah. You know, a lot of people, there are so many stories that have been out there about Pac, and a lot of times our history, as you get out there talking about history, it has a lot of different layers, and it always has to be looked at.
Right.
And you can see and you'll find some very interesting facts, especially as it pertains to Tupac with this group. His work ethic was something that I really felt was important to express. It's not that you try to belittle or try to shame him in the idea that you go, oh, he was a roadie, he did this, he did. No, what he did was show you that he was down to do things that he had to do to get to where he was trying to go. And that is something that I felt is so important for our young people who live in this instant gratification society where they feel like, you know, they want to be recognized or be acknowledged as being something because, you know, if they put on a pair of bifocals or spectacles, they want to be seen as being an intellect. That's not how it works. You know, it's like, you know, at some point you have to read a book. A lot of times, and once again, Tupac, a very well-read young man. When people go, you know, they want to be like Pac, I'd be like, yeah, well, read a book, because he was well-read. He was a smart person.
Right.
And highly intelligent. And, you know, for the most part, you know, it's very, very important to me for people to understand, you know, having a work ethic and working and doing, you know, working your craft and doing the things that that may make you uncomfortable initially, but if it works towards your ultimate goal, you need to understand that you're going to have to do that. And here is one of their heroes, Tupac Shakur, who was down to do whatever he had to do at that particular point as it pertained to working towards his goal. And he came in from the bottom, and he basically worked his way to the mountaintop.
Exactly. And I think that is the thing for everyone to be able to remember. You know, Chop, I want to talk about you and where we are today in music. Because, again, I think one of the big contrasts that I feel like, and I thought about it when I was prepping for this segment with you, is how you guys, as I said earlier, were having fun. You were doing what you love. You took it seriously, but you had fun. Do you think that's one of the things that is missing today, that people don't take it as serious as it is? Because you guys, I saw even in the doc, the clips that have been released, you know, being able to interact with your fans, having that connection with them, appreciating them. Do you think that's one of the things that we don't really appreciate in the world that we're living in today?
Well, you know, with technology and those things, you're always going to gain something, you're always going to lose something. And the whole idea of being able to connect personally, there are so many people who can't even communicate. I mean, it's like they call it social media, but it feels like anti-social media because, you know, you'll be sitting in a room with people and they'll be on their phones or they'll be on their devices and they're not even living in the moment with you right there, and it just feels really weird. But at the same time, you have the ability to communicate to the masses all over the world. And the youngsters and the new people, we very much enjoyed making music, and we used to throw out party packs and things that I needed. You would have like a condom, some chewing gum, a noise blower, something else in there that would allow you to participate in the show. And, you know, to interact with the audience that way is something that, you know, is very valuable. I mean, you know, to allow people to participate with you, that was something that we did do years ago. We started doing that in small clubs, but as we grew, we ended up doing that in arenas as well. And, you know, for you to be able to put on some humpy nose and glasses and be humpy hump in the audience was fun to people. And I do think people have gotten away from that on one end. But, you know, we look to bring it back. You know, the future is bright with Son of the Underground, so too, and their whole new approach towards Digital Underground. It's a whole new lineup, and it will be, as they call it, new and improved, as it were. And I think that, you know, with playing instruments and things of that nature, we're bringing that stuff back, because Digital Underground did start out as, like I said, us playing instruments and playing together. And then as it grew production-wise, we played less and performed more. With theatrics versus with musicianship. So,
yeah.
You know, that's something that I'm looking forward to bringing back and highlighting in this film. This film is really good. Abdul Malik Abbott is an incredible director.
Right.
He's done some incredible work. You know, this piece is very important, as it were, because it isn't just our history. It's your history. It's everyone's history. I know you say you didn't grow up necessarily on hip-hop. I listened to a lot of Charlie Pride as well, Cyrus, growing up. I did watch. I mean, I don't know exactly what you listened to, but I grew up listening to all kinds of music. But at the end of the day, you know, everybody, you know, people got out there and did the Humpty Dance. I mean, they can act like they didn't, but, you know, I remember going, we were in Jackson, Mississippi. I know I've been to a few different spots down in Mississippi and, you know, and all down south there. And, you know, the folks loved it, and we loved them. And it's nothing like being down south, especially in places like Jackson and stuff like that.
Appreciate that. You know, you bring up another good point. I have to talk to you about this as well, Chop, because, you know, when we're thinking about music, and it really comes down to what you've said about music, because that's really what matters. It's not the gimmick. And I think that's what sometimes I think we get confused today in the world we live in today. It really becomes more about the gimmick than actually being talented, actually having a gift.
Sure.
You know, I look at what you guys have done. I mean, I don't see, and I even talked to Abdul about this, that there are many people today that can say that 25 years from now they'll still be talked about as you guys are. Would you agree to that?
Well, 100%. I mean, I listen to some of the music that my own kids grew up listening to. I'm going, I don't see this having a retro period. I don't see this coming back. I just can't see some of this disposable music. I mean, the industry got taken over at some point by people who were not, like, back in the day, music that you and I would have grown up on possibly would have had an A&R person, artist and repertoire, which was basically an art form where a executive would take an artist and match it with an arranger, would match it with a songwriter, would match it with a producer, and things like that, and create a package and a product that was solid. These days, in the last bunch of years, it's really been where business affairs have taken over the creative affairs of a record label. That's why it's crumbled the way it has. Business affairs were taken over like lawyers, and they would sit and go, you know what, bring me one of these Drakes, or bring me one of these, you know, Rihannas. They would just, and so therefore people were not qualified to basically judge talent and create a product that was viable that people would want to hold on to. I mean, back in the day, you know, I would watch documentaries on like Aretha Franklin, where Clive Davis would have taken Aretha and sent her over to Muscle Shoals, over there, and basically got her with producers and Isaac Hayes and different people would write and produce those songs, and she would sing them and things of that. And that was an incredible thing. That was something that was an art form itself, and knowing how to pair people together to create a product that the people would like. You know, and it really just is non-existent today, and it's such a shame because culturally we're suffering because of it.
Exactly, and I think that's the thing. And I think, too, there's not the appreciation, quite frankly, Chop, for real musicians like you guys, who, as Abdul reminded us in our conversation, that you guys were actually musicians. I mean, you weren't just, you know, I mean,
sure.
You guys actually played instruments. I mean, you guys did more than just stand around and, you know, and play around. You guys actually were involved, and I think that's what people love about you. So let's talk about DU Days and what your hope is. As I said, the public is able to get involved. You are on social media like the rest of us these days, Chop. What has it been like for you? I'm curious to see your thoughts. I mean, as you said, you know, the internet is what it is. I believe it's done a lot of good. I think when used responsibly, it can do a lot in bringing people together, to bringing, you know, projects together like this. You know, what has it been like for you to kind of be able to evolve with this new technological age?
Well, you know, being Digital Underground, we always look to the future, and we always thought about the whole idea of, you know, taking some of the old and some of the new and putting it together. You know, I'm excited about it. I've been kind of slow to come to it. It's, I, for the most part, I really believe that, at DUDays.com and HipHopEarlyDays.com, where you can go and look and see the film and see what's going on and be able to get at us directly. I love this whole independent world of where we're at entertainment-wise because, you know, the independence means not to be independent of each other, but to be independent of the establishment. And so
right.
We can utilize those tools like the internet and even the crowdfunding thing. Our man David Karam and Aaron over at the crowdfunding company is making sure that we are definitely given visibility to be able to create our own monies to be able to put into our project and allow people to feel a part of the project and interact with us right there.
Right.
As it pertains to, you know, the gifting and the things that we do, they actually can be able to be on board early enough and support a project from its inception and be a part of it all the way down, because that was always fun. It was always fun back in the day to go to your friend and go, I bet you're not up on this, or do you have one of these, or do you have this? And so now it gives you an opportunity to be a part of that up front, you know, and I'm really looking forward to the results of what our campaign will create and then the product that we can bring to the people. It's almost, in the process of this crowdfunding situation is almost, like, really, if people look at it more as just pre-ordering their product, you're just pre-ordering it now by participating with it, and you're going to get everything you wanted directly from the people itself, you know. And that, I mean, if back in the day, if I was a big Prince fan growing up, we're talking about the early 80s, I was a big Prince fan. If I thought that Prince and them actually sent me some stuff, man, that would really be incredible. It's like,
exactly.
If I thought that I had access to anyone in his camp and knew that I could participate, you know, with the next project that he was going to do, I would really be excited about that. And I'm really hoping that our people out there, especially our African-American constituents and fans and friends, can learn to be a more part of the crowdfunding process, because it's a process that we seem to be getting to a little slower than most, but at the same time, when it does catch on with us, I'm sure that we will really be able to appreciate it even more so.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want everyone to be able to participate with us at DUDays.com, HipHopEarlyDays.com, and be able to go to our Indiegogo campaign and get down with us on DU Days.
There you go. And there you hear it directly from the man himself. Again, Chopmaster J has been our guest, been talking to us not only about the history of Digital Underground, but also the music and what has made the group legendary. Last thing I want to talk to you about, and we really appreciate the time today, that is something you and I discussed before we went live here, and that is, of course, we're commemorating the 25th anniversary of the collapse of the Berlin Wall. That also finds its way into the documentary as you guys are celebrating the 25th anniversary of your album. You know, take us into that because we're able to hear your very colorful way of explaining your thoughts about visiting Berlin in the documentary and what your thoughts were about what you wanted to see and didn't want to see. And next thing you know, the wall is coming down. So what is it like for you to think about, you know, what you guys have been able to see, as well as, of course, the symbolism there of what you guys have done in breaking down barriers when it comes to music?
Well, you know, Digital Underground were part of a lot of different events, world events, and a lot of those things affected us directly. I mean, the band itself, we ended up bonding, being caught in the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake that happened in the Bay Area that just stopped everything. The World Series, did a whole lot of stuff. The Bay Bridge, it collapsed, a lot of different things. But as a group, we bonded under that. You know, one of the main things, and one of our first, right after that Loma Prieta earthquake, we did go over to Germany, to Berlin, and we were asked to go on a sightseeing tour where I was, you know, tired. I was jet lagged and I was really exhausted, and I didn't care to want to see all those sites that really represented, it appeared to be, destruction and violence, and I just didn't understand why we would need to go see that. But right. After I did, I was taken aback, and I really protested about it verbally, and, you know, only to leave there, come back to America, and after we had arrived back to Berlin, like 30 days later, the wall, Ronald Reagan, the president at the time, had given that incredible speech about, you know, Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And so we were there. I was able to get a piece of the wall, a few pieces of the wall, and I actually walked across Checkpoint Charlie right there. This promoter dared me to walk across Checkpoint Charlie, and I didn't know that if I should do it or not, but I did, and I walked across, and all the lights came on, and everything was crazy. He was laughing, and I was like, yeah, you're fine. I'm like, fine, they're like, you're ready to kill me. So it was a wild experience. I mean, you know, all these different worldly experiences. I mean, the band, we ended up splitting up later after the 1991 Oakland Hills firestorm, which was the largest residential fire in U.S. history at that time. So DU has a lot of stories. The DU Days film has a lot of stories that are much bigger than just a hip-hop band, much bigger than even just Tupac. It has a lot of stories that are of interest to people all over the world. And I'm just happy to be a part of it. 25 years later, I'm still standing. As a matter of fact, we're getting ready to reactivate and give back and make some more things happen, you know. And, you know, I'm just happy to have the opportunity to speak with Brother Cyrus because, you know, I know you can dig it. And I just want to thank everyone for having us, you know. And I can't wait to get back down south, you know, Atlanta, you know, all the different places that we love so much, absolutely.
Yeah, well, look, Mississippi and Atlanta, we love you guys, and definitely looking forward to being able to do our part. Again, everyone, I've been speaking to the legendary Chopmaster Jay. You guys can be a part of this campaign that's going on right now. You've been hearing us give out the website, dudays.com is where you guys can be able to go to stay connected with what's going on with the film, to be able to donate, and to share it with your friends, dudays.com. So make sure you guys head over there, do your part, and then let other people know about it as well. Chop Man, really appreciate the time with you today. And look, it goes without saying, you're welcome back here anytime, man.
Thank you so much. And I just want to leave one thing. Yeah, that's that funky hip hop Humpty bass line. All right, man. Look, much love and respect, Brother Cyrus.
Thank you, man.
Thank you for everybody. And, you know, let's get it.
All right, man. We will definitely do it. Again, everyone, Chopmaster Jay has been our guest for our listeners here, of course, locally, as well as, of course, through Atlanta's 106 Live Radio. We thank Chopmaster for being on. Thank our good friend Makita Smith for setting up this conversation today. If you guys came in late, you guys know what to do. You can find out how you can listen to it again by going to our radio website at conversationsliveradio.com. That information is also on our social media pages. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.